Good morning and welcome to Sports Physio UK podcast. Have a listen, see if you can learn anything. If you want to add anything, drop us a message.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for joining us yet again. I'm Scott Woodhead, one of the co-owners of Sports Physio UK. I'm also a senior sports therapist down here. I've got a guest with me today. Chris. Chris is the founder and owner of Train With Honour. They look at the elite sports side of stuff, as sports conditioning coach, analyst. Well, the list goes on, doesn't it really, Chris?
It is, it's mentor, general dog's body, analyst, part-time physio, unqualified, but yeah, basically everything.
And what we're going to have a look at today is get a bit of an idea on how Chris and some of the other professionals away from our clinic look at injury and injury prevention, so the techniques that they use to stop patients really getting to see us, which isn't always what we want, but anyway. So we're going to have a bit of a chat. We're going to hand over the mic really to Chris.
Well, I suppose the process is probably the best way. Yeah. Like, how do people approach a coach, trainer, whatever they really, because a lot of people they tend to bypass personal trainers because they've all got this preconception that they're going to come and see us in the gym and get absolutely beasted. And I think this is because we live in a society that's influenced so much by social media these days. So the process we go through is we'll have initial contacts. So it could be a referral for you guys. It could be, I'll speak about the general population. They'll come in. We'll arrange a call is probably the best thing, which is a free consultation that we'll carry out. Get a bit of a background, a bit of a feel for what they want to do, what their aspirations are. From there, we'll send a follow-up email just to confirm what we spoke about. Give them a few options because a lot of people don't want to, you know, personal training, it's an investment, it's a big investment. Yeah. And the biggest question that comes into it from there, from our perspective, is how much is what investment you're willing to make your life better? So we've got to make sure that when we've got anyone on board, it's the right fit for us. We've got to make sure that we're the right fit for them, more importantly, because with myself specifically, I try and work more with general athletes. So it could be working with someone who does a 5K, could be working with somebody who is a professional, semi-professional rugby player. And once we've got an idea of what they want, we'll then send them an email just to outline sort of terms and conditions, what we expect from them, what they can expect from us. And we then invite them in for a bit of a screening. And with this, we have a look at the functional movement screens. So if they're wanting to, if they're runners, for example, how do they squat? What's the core strength like? So we'll look at things like a single leg squat, we'll look at a double leg squat, see if there's any differentiations, because I'm sure you'll find in clinic that a lot of people have a pelvic tilt, they'll have conditions such as knee valgus, where the knees are coming in. And then we look to prescribe, if you like, a host of exercises to correct the issue that the client's presenting us with. Because obviously the last thing we want to do is get them to come in and say, right, you're going to do 20 reps of 50 kilogram bench press followed by 100 kilogram squat, because if the mechanics aren't right, then well, there's no point in us carrying on. Our aim is to reduce risk of injury, whereas if we just give them the program, you know, what else could happen?
Yeah, in terms of sort of that functional screening test that you do, is there a set structure that you use to, so if someone was coming to you and they are that newbie, do you use a set structure or do you sort of tell them?
Yeah, definitely. So I've got a set one. A lot of it's, I try and do it while giving them a taster session, if you like, at the same time. So one would be something like the overhead squat assessment. So what I'm looking at with that is, with their arms in the air, do their arms tend to pull forwards? Are their arms nice and static? What's the pelvic tilt like? Does the chest come parallel to the floor? Do the knees come inwards? Do they come outwards? And from that, make the notes on that, present that back to the client after that. We'll then go into a dead bug, which is basically lying on the floor, arms and legs up, opposite arm, opposite leg, to check the core strength. So is there any potential nervous issues? And from there, we'll look at implementing key exercises that's going to rectify that. Because what we don't want to do is, there's three stages I tend to go through. First one's building the strength, which is obviously going to then allow you to perform better exercises with, in a better technique, develop your strength more, and improve your functionality. The second one's a hypertrophy phase, which is based more on muscular endurance. So rep range like between 12 and 15 reps, at about roughly about between 65% and 75% of the one rep max. And then we look at the plyometrics, power, for, you know, mainly for athletes. So running, for example, you look at doing things like a pelvic thrust or barbell thrust, so you can hit, you know, hamstrings, glutes, quads, and all that sort of stuff.
When you talk about the plyometrics there, do you find that a lot of your guys and girls want to try and get to the plyometric stage a lot faster than what they really need?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I get quite a few people that say, oh, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and you know, I've been trying these plyometrics, and they might be sort of new to running or cycling, but they've heard that plyometrics are the way forward. And that's where they're aiming for. But I find even sort of how I work, and my previous history is in the sort of personal training world for many, many years. And it used to be a bit of a toil to stop people going there too quickly.
This is it. A lot of it's education, and I'm a big believer that you've got to educate the client as to the why. So, why are you here, first and foremost? Why are you here? Why do you want this training now? What stopped you from doing a specific training before? All of a sudden, they're doing box jumps. What happens when you've done box jumps? Well, I've got a bit of a twinge in my back. Right, okay, so when you're squatting, have you got a tilt or have you got any pain in your knee? Oh yeah, I've got a little bit of pain in your knee. Right, well, straight away you can identify that there's an issue. Yeah. So this is the importance why educating is so important. And when it comes to choosing the right trainer or choosing the right professional, you've got to have a look at the credibility. So who have they worked with in the past? Are they relatively new to their field? What's their background, and get to know that person a bit more as well. If there's someone that turns around and speaks about themselves all the time, then you know that they're not the right fit, because you want somebody who cares, essentially. And as a coach myself, I've worked with some fantastic coaches, continue to have fantastic coaches, surround myself with a great network, obviously worked with you guys for the last sort of 18 months with referrals, etc. And you know, working within football as well, which is great. But you've got to understand the why. And if you're gonna, and if you want to do plyometrics, great, do plyometrics. But you've got to understand that to get there, if you want to get there safely, you've got to have a structure in terms of how to get there.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people misinterpret what plyometrics are as well. Yeah. They think it's just a box jump, or they're just jumping on a box or jumping off a box, and it's more about that close, short, sharp contact with another surface on the other side. So that's good. In terms of sort of conditioning side, how do you find treadmills?
Treadmills are good. Personally, I don't use them in my one-to-one sessions because I see it a lot. I don't want to downgrade commercial gyms by any means, but I find a lot of trainers in a commercial gym will go and just chuck the client on a treadmill for an hour. Yes. They're sat there, they're on their phones. Oh, well done, right, what are you doing? Right, you're on level 7.5. Yeah, brilliant. 10 minutes later, still on 7.5, nice one. But what are they getting out of that? Yeah. You know, I mean, are you on it for fat loss? Are you on there to get strength in your calves? Are you on an incline? So we'll look at running, for example. obviously running is huge, whether you're playing ice hockey, whether you're a 5k runner, football, or whatever it may be. If you're on a treadmill, you, realistically, you're not going to get the full potential.
Absolutely.
And I say that because there's so many different ways that you can do it. Obviously, go out road running, get used to the different terrains, because the depending on what terrain you or the environment you expose yourself to will dictate how you perform. So if you're on the treadmill and you're doing the Manchester 10K, for example, and you're doing a 10K on a treadmill, it's going to be two completely different things. You've got to think about the impact, you've got to think about your mechanics. So are you running heel toe? Are you running flat footed? Then you've got to start thinking, how can I utilize the treadmill? And there's a trainer, I do what we call a gait analysis. So you'll have the client on the treadmill and probably do about 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. And you get them to gradually build up their pace over time. And you're looking at how are their feet striking the treadmill? Yeah. Is there an overpronation? Are they literally like that position? Yeah. Are they heel toe? Are they on the ball of the feet? Then you've got to think of the impact that it's making. So there's a lot of scientific evidence to say it's better to run on the balls of your feet, because if this is a surface, and you're pushing the force and then the velocity comes through the metatarsals, the tarsals, etc. and out. Whereas if you run flat-footed or you go heel-toe, then you're going to end up with risk of shin splints, calf strain, potential hip problems later down the line. The list goes on. There's no one size fits all scenario. Every person's got to be looked at individually. And a lot of coaches, including myself, are now going on to online training. And if you're someone that's watching this and you're thinking about going with an online trainer, have a look at the results that they're getting with the clients before, because you've got to be able to understand that are you relatable to any of their clientele? Yes. And if you're not relatable to any of their clientele, then if you're looking at improving your technique, seek a one-to-one trainer or get yourself involved with a group training class.
Yeah. In terms of what you were chatting about there, the sort of the front foot running, the mid foot and the heel, we see a lot of people that have struggled with sort of shin splints and things like that, and we analyse and we look at the biomechanics, and they find that if they are more of a heel striker, in effect, because of the distance that they've got between foot to foot during their stride, that wide stride pattern with a heel strike effectively puts a brake on, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Every single step puts that brake on, and again, it's all about the conditioning of
100%.
That person as well. So going back to your treadmill, we find a lot of people, sort of your winter trainers, your winter runners, and they're the ones that do like the treadmill. But then, you know, it's like what you said in terms of the conditioning for the event that they're going to take part in. Mm. We can find a lot that the biomechanical setup on that posterior chain, so sort of lower back, glutes, hamstrings, calves, they sort of switch off a little bit, because when you're on the treadmill, you've got the belt of the treadmill actually pulling the foot back. So we don't get as much muscle recruitment, do we?
Exactly.
On the hamstrings there. So it has a massive effect. And with your clientele, how do you find sort of, or what do you find as the main sort of prevention thing that you put into place for people? Let's look at the running world. A lot of our patients are runners. A lot of people that we sort of drill into to their minds is the strength conditioning,
100%.
Strengthen yourself to run. Now, how would you take sort of a runner that's just your everyday runner, how would you take them to become stronger and more strength at running?
So the first thing you got to do is a toe touch test. So we have a look at the health of the hamstrings. So
we won't do that on me then. Anyone that knows me knows that I can touch my toes in the fact that I can lift my foot up and that's it. Any other way, it's not happening.
No way. But yeah, you literally stand up, nice pelvic tilt, just literally lean down and touch it and just touch your toes. If you can touch your toes, you know you've got good flexibility, you've got good elasticity. Another thing you can think about is, what are your calves like? You know, are you someone that's dominantly walking on your tiptoes? Best sort of exercise, I would say, for runners would be something like a good morning, where you are literally arms up, you're literally arms up, pelvic tilt, and you're sort of stood up and you're just pushing yourself forward, so it gives you a nice strength on the hamstring.
And that's
so,
keeping that back straight with the legs straight as well?
100%. So I mean, if I was to do it normally now, so I'd come in this position, arms up there, and I'd literally keep pushing myself down slowly, and you'll feel a bit of tension on the back of your hamstrings. You then isolate that for about 1 to 2 seconds, then under control, bring yourself back up as well. We do that about 10 reps roughly for about 3 rounds, and over time that'll build up, and it's something you can do at home. Another thing, foam rolling, so mobilization of the joint of the muscle group. One of the best things you can get, and you can pick one up from Aldi. There are other shops out there, by the way, as well.
Like Sports Physio UK.
Put yourself down to clinic. Go and get one. Specialized. Understand the mechanics behind it. So understand which way your muscles go. So if you're doing your hamstrings, understand that you've got to foam it downwards and as opposed to across, because you've got to think about the way the muscle fibers are going. Odds are, if you've got any form of injury, it's as a result of shortening of a muscle group. So if your hamstrings are tight, odds are you're going to have a longer quad. Yeah. And sort of vice versa. Another thing you got to think about is what's your injury history as well. So are you quad dominant? Are you calf dominant? What sport are you playing? If football, you got to think about the areas around football is you're always turning. You've got to think about what load's going through your hips, what load's going through your ankles, what load's going through your knees. So then you've got to think about, well, that's the joint it's going to hit. So I now need to make sure that my hamstrings, my quads, my glutes, my calves, my Achilles, everything's strengthened. And this is the importance of understanding your body and listening to your body before going on and building a program up and getting that structure in.
If there was anything out there that you would sort of want to get across to people, more from a self-help point of view, things that they could do at home, what would it be? Let's stick with the running side of stuff. Let's stick with the runners.
If it was just a case of self-help, listen to your body first and foremost. Think about the way you're sitting. So I'm slightly slouching now. Pelvic movement. So make sure your bottom's actually drilled into the back of your of the chair. Because if you're sloping, if you're at a desk job, which a lot of recreational runners now, but we see an increase at this time of year.
Yeah.
They're at a desk and they're in that position because they're typing. So think about your posture, get your posture upright, squeeze your traps together, because if you're at a desk like that, then you're going to be stretching your traps, stretching your rhomboids, the posterior chain. So you've got to make sure that if you're in this position, have a look at how your posture is as well. Yeah. So have a look in the mirror. Am I hunched back? Do I have any what are called kyphosis, or the arching of the back, or do you have is your back, I don't know, like that? If you like lordosis, so it's a bit of a curve at the bottom. And what can you do to get there? Ask questions, most importantly. Bit of self-evaluation, ask questions. Don't be afraid to self-educate. Get on YouTube, speak to you guys in here, speak to somebody that you trust and build a network of people that are going to encourage you to fulfill your goal.
Absolutely. Posture is a massive thing, isn't it? As a human race, we're not designed, we've not evolved over the years to be in a seated position.
Yeah.
The stresses that we put on things, and you touched it there where we're looking at that slouching, and if we were to actually put lines through from sort of a side view, look at someone's back to their hips and everything, if the back isn't directly above those hips, then we're actually loading the weight away from the body, which is putting more stress on there. But I think we'll look at posture in maybe a different podcast and look at that in a lot more detail. So I think sort of closing-wise, one of the big messages you've put out there is to listen to your own body, understand your own body. But also a big thing you've touched on there is look at what's happening away from your sport as well. Yeah, looking at your day-to-day activities, you know, your desk-based workers, your manual workers, how things are actually happening when you're not training, because that's going to have a massive effect on performance, isn't it?
Lifestyle's key. Yeah. As a trainer, I've got to know my client inside out. I've got to know what they do at 7 o'clock in the morning, what they do at 9 o'clock at night, because it's not just about what they're doing in the training, it's about how they're recovering. So are they getting the right nutrition in the system? Are they eating the breakfast? Are they getting 4 hours sleep? Because in effect, that's going to affect how they perform that day. I had a client last week, he was coming to see me on Saturday, and he's having problems with his wrist. So he texts me on the Friday and says, look, I don't know if I can get here because my wrist's absolutely throbbing. And he's preparing for aesthetic reasons. So he's going away on holiday in a couple of months' time, and he wants to get big. So I thought, well, considering the type of exercise we're going to be doing, like bench press, shoulder press, I thought, now just have the recovery and, you know, do that. Because you've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to understand your lifestyle. And because, you know, if your lifestyle can't accommodate your training, you've got to then sort of, you've got to identify what's more important. Is your lifestyle more important than your training? Or is your training more important than your lifestyle? And then you've got to, you know, it goes into it. We could go on about this for hours. You then got to get your structure. What's the most important thing? Set your three goals a day. And yeah, the list goes on.
Excellent. So if people wanted to have a look at maybe getting a little bit better at the strength and conditioning side of stuff, delving into that in a lot more detail and get some structure in the program, how do they get in touch with yourself?
So myself, you can either come via Scotty at Fit Sports Video UK. Find us on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/trainwithhonor. Honor spelled H-O-N-O-R. Find us on Twitter, which is ChrisHonor4, although I'm very limited on there, apart from retweeting Leicester City things. But
oh, Leicester City. That's it. Sorry to hear about that.
I know, after the weekend is bad. Or Instagram, very dominant on Instagram at the moment, which is train_with_honor with the O-R _coaching. And yeah, and that's me.
Excellent. And as always, you can find us on Facebook at Sports Physio UK. We've got a number of clinics across Greater Manchester, so if you do need any help wherever you are, get in touch with us, like us, share us, find us on Spotify, just search for Sports Physio UK. Thank you very much for joining us. Chris, thank you very much for coming in.
Cheers, thank you.
It's been a pleasure giving us a good insight today on sort of strength, conditioning, and what people can look out for, and a bit of self-help in there as well, which is always fun. So thank you very much, and we'll see you again.
Thank you.